Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome in to a happy and, well, rather relieved post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. The Rockets just polished off a 118-116 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder at Toyota Center. Just a huge game. So much fun. Russell Westbrook went off. James Harden went off. He had two of the top players in the entire world, the two top MVP candidates this year, and the game lived up to his billing. It was a little too close given the lead the Rockets had entering the fourth quarter, but when it mattered, James Harden made the play the Rockets needed to make, and the Rockets got the win. They're now 28-9, they've won six in a row, and as far as the MVP conversation goes, the Rockets are 28-9, Oklahoma City is 21-16. That's a 6.5, actually it's a 7-game gap. It's tough to see what the argument for Russell Westbrook is, especially when in the fourth quarter, as great as Westbrook was, he and the Thunder did not score in the final 2 minutes. Harden got the 2 points to tie the game, and then, of course, had the game-winning, well, it wasn't an assist, but the game-winning pass to set up Nene, who got fouled, then got the free throws. They should count that as an assist. And as far as recapping this game, I'll start there. When I posted the video of that play for Media Row, I said, what a great pass and what a great call by Mike D'Antoni. As it turns out, it wasn't Mike D'Antoni's call. It was simply James Harden's read. And it's amazing because when you see a play that works that well, you think, wow, they had to draw it up. But that's how good James Harden is. That's how good his vision is. And I do think his willingness to give up the ball in a situation like that is meaningful. Whereas some players, I'm not going to say Russell Westbrook every single time, but we see a lot of folks who glorify the guys who play hero ball and take that shot for better or for worse. And in the past, we've seen players such as LeBron James criticized for willingness to pass. To those who criticize, I say look at that play. There is significant value in being willing to distribute the ball in that situation, even if you are a great player. And that game, national TV, huge stakes, Toyota Center, everyone on its feet, that game is living proof of why an unselfish superstar like James Harden, or well, like LeBron James as well, can work, especially in the modern NBA. James Harden didn't get the prototypical game winner, but it was a game winner nonetheless. Now, also give credit to the guy making the free throws. Nene, in his 17 minutes, he was a team best plus 12, had 18 points, including the two winning free throws late. A lot of people are wondering, well, why isn't Nene playing more? And the obvious answer, well, the Rockets, if Nene can't play, and if you play him more than 20 minutes, you probably can't play him on both ends of the back-to-back. The Rockets have another tough game tomorrow in Orlando. Orlando's not great, but they're a very competitive team. They're going to be rested. Rockets are going to be coming off a very exhausting game and now flying at least a couple of hours over to Florida. So you ask, why didn't Nene play more? Well, at 17 minutes, you ask him more than that, he's not going to be able to play tomorrow night. The Rockets manage him about as well as you could hope for, and with his size and physicality, even if he's not necessarily the best rebounder, had just 3 in 17 minutes, just his ability to finish around the basket was key against the likes of Enes Kanter, Steven Adams, Sabonis, the just never-ending stream of huge bigs that the Thunder seemed to be able to throw at you. So this was a big game for Nene. You don't want to count on him for more because at his age, if you wanted to be this effective, you probably need to keep him in this role between 15 and 20 minutes per game. But it goes to show you that against a more half-court-oriented team, because that's one of the questions for the Rockets, when they get to the playoffs, what happens if you play a team like Memphis, Utah, the Thunder that can slow it down. And in the fourth quarter of this game, it was not really the Russell Westbrook show. It was the Russell Westbrook show through three quarters. But the fourth quarter, it was less about what Westbrook was doing. It was more simply about the Thunder just playing volleyball on the glass. They slowed it down and they used their size to take advantage of a Rockets team that, without Clint Capela, did not have the length and physicality to match up in there. So tonight, Nene could not play more than 20 minutes without taking him out of play for tomorrow. He should be good to go now. But this does show you that when you get to the playoffs, when you can throw both Nene and Capella in there for 30-plus minutes a night, maybe even 40-plus, if you feel that Harold's not giving you something on a given night, then the Rockets can win ugly, too. This was a game in which the Thunder had a lot of success out-rebounding them. We haven't seen too many games where the Rockets are beaten up on the glass, but they were tonight by 11. But Nene was very effective when he played. He can only play 17 minutes, which, again, that's the injuries, and that's his age. Hurry back Clint Capella, and you can mitigate that some. But when it mattered, he made the winning play. Of course, huge assist to James Harden, and the Rockets got the win. Now, as far as the game as a whole, I know a lot of people are going to focus on the fact that the Rockets had a 14-point lead in the fourth, and it was close again, just like the first two games against Oklahoma City. And I'm going to say that I think some of you dial it back just a little bit. Because what I would say, over the course of 48 minutes, you're going to have many stretches where you overachieve and many where you underachieve. And you come to a general average. And on the whole tonight, the Rockets were within their average. They scored 118 points. They hit on 15 of 39 threes. That's almost 39%. They shot almost 48% from the field. So it's not as if they didn't shoot well. It's not as if they didn't score the ball well. They just went cold at a bad time. And while a lot of people are going to focus on that, you could just as easily say, well, the Rockets scored 64 points in the second and third quarters combined and should have put the Thunder away then. When you look at this matchup, the Rockets did offensively for the entirety of the 48 minutes about what you would expect. The rebounding, while it's difficult to watch when a team plays volleyball on the offensive glass against you, it's discouraging, it's not fun, but the Rockets without Clint Capella against a very big Oklahoma City team, and it's not just the bigs, the guys like Roberson, Oladipo, these long, long wing guys that they can throw out there, and Russell Westbrook, of course, the point guard with the most insane athleticism in the NBA, they're going to beat a lot of teams on the glass. You would expect that of the matchup going in. The one thing that you would not expect of a matchup like this is Russell Westbrook shooting 8 of 15 from 3. If he shoots closer to, say, even 5 of 15 from 3, it would be overachieving for him because he came into this game shooting about 30%. He's a career 30% guy. So really, I'd say 4 for 15 from Westbrook is a more typical output. And if that happens, the Rockets would have won this game comfortably by 10 or 12, exactly what you would expect. A lot of people are going to focus on the fourth quarter offense. A lot of people are going to focus on the glass. But to me, those are issues that you would expect, especially without Clint Capella. The Thunder are going to have their way with the Rockets in the middle. And the Rockets, on the course of the game, they got the kind of offensive output and they made the shots that they needed to make. It's just that the thing that held Oklahoma City close was Russell Westbrook's insane scoring outburst through the first three quarters, and you tip your cap to him. It's nothing unfair. It's just his night. But in terms of predictive value, what this means going forward, obviously there's a reason Russell Westbrook does not shoot 50-plus percent from three most nights. And if this were a normal night from him, then I think this would be the box score that we were all expecting. Good news is that despite the injuries, despite Russell Westbrook being hot, the Rockets found a way, and that's what elite teams do. This was a game in which when the Rockets went down two, it would have been very easy for them to assume that it's not their night. They didn't. They got back in. Actually, they didn't make any great shots. Harden drew a foul, made two free throws. He then made the huge play at the end of the game, and then in between, in the final minute 50, Oklahoma City had the ball several times. They didn't score. And it wasn't just Pat Beverly. They switched Harden onto Westbrook in the closing seconds, and Harden did a good job on the switch on Westbrook as well. So the Rockets dug deep, even when it wasn't pretty, even when they weren't making their threes, and they still found a way to get this win, and that's what good teams do. Now, besides looking at the big picture and then the final couple of minutes, figured it made sense to start with the plays at the end of the game and then, you know, a big picture standpoint. The other thing we should do, give credit to Pat Beverly. Man, oh man, was this a huge game for him. 11 points, 8 rebounds. Last couple of minutes, he had a couple of huge rebounds amongst the trees, and it was all heart. We asked him before the game, because D'Antoni said yesterday that he thought Beverly would play. Then this morning said, well, he didn't know, because Beverly was still experiencing a lot of pain. We went up to Beverly's locker before the game. I posted the video on my Twitter. We asked him, how's he doing? He said, it hurts. H-U-R-T-S. But he's a soldier, and, well, he's going to try and tough through it. And boy, did he ever. Now, I will say, it's not as easygoing, this injury, as I expected a few days ago. Mike D'Antoni confirmed today that there was some swelling on a ligament. And so when you have a sprained wrist, when you admit that it affects the ligament, guys, a sprain is a tear. And a torn ligament is exactly what he went through 2 years ago when it ended his season. Now, obviously, it is not to that extent right now. They would not have let him play. 2 years ago, even when he wanted to play in the Western Conference Finals, they wouldn't let him do it. So, again, just because there's some sort of torn fibers in there, not all tears are created equal, and if the Rockets are even open to letting him play, then it's not what it was 2 years ago. But on the other hand, that one 2 years ago was to his off arm. This is his shooting arm. He said that, or, well, D'Antoni said, actually, that it hurt most when he shot. Now, thankfully, tonight, even though it hurt most when he shot, Beverly was 3 of 4 from three. So think about how much it takes to hit those big-time threes, even when you know that your wrist is going to be barking like crazy at you after the release, after the follow-through. You give him credit. You do worry about it a little bit over the next couple of weeks. I don't think it's going to last a long time. The Rockets know what they're doing when it comes to injuries. They're not going to risk his long-term future or something that could potentially end his season. If they're letting him play, I'm pretty confident that they don't think that he can do much worse damage to it. It's just a matter of pain tolerance. However, over the course of an 82-game schedule, I don't know that it's necessarily going to get that much better until he gets some rest. A month from now, he's going to have a week plus off for the All-Star break, and that would help. But until then, boy, it's tough because he had almost a week off until tonight. And if he is still in a lot of pain, it's great that he could gut through it tonight. I'm sure he had a ton of adrenaline shooting through him. You know he gets crazy when he sees Russell Westbrook. You know, a packed Toyota Center national TV. This was his environment. But can Beverly make it every day up until, say, the trade deadline, or, well, not the deadline, the All-Star break, which coincides with the deadline, but basically when he can get that week off in February, I don't know. And that's tough for the Rockets, because right now, if you sit him, unless you're going to play James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, 35-plus minutes per night, 40-plus in the case of Ariza and Harden, as they did against the Wizards, you're going to be having to play Tyler Ennis, and that's not good. So the Rockets are in a tough spot. I don't know if they would trade major assets for a backup point guard, or not necessarily backup point guard, because Beverly plays off the ball for the most part now, but just another wing player. But if one appeared, we did see yesterday Jarrett Jack wanting to make a comeback. I could see the Rockets kind of probing around, because right now, Beverly's wrist clearly is not right, and by the playoffs, you want him to be fully back to himself. So it's going to be a dicey situation. It's not as clear to me as it was a couple of days ago that he's just going to be fine with a few days off. If it's hurting him this much to where he openly admits it, and Pat Beverly does not like to admit that he's in pain, so for him to admit that, you know it's bothering him. He got through it tonight. Credit to him, and hell of a gutty performance. He made the shots. Also got several huge rebounds, which is, again, what the Rockets have to do when you have Nene and Harrell, no Capella. You have to have your guards like Pat Beverly, like James Harden. James Harden also had 8 rebounds to go along with his 26 points and 12 assists. But, yeah, you need to get Pat Beverly right, and playing him every night. They've got a 3-4 night stretch in Orlando tomorrow and Toronto on Sunday. Boy, I don't know if Pat Beverly's going to play in all those games. I would love to be wrong, but I think they're probably going to have to give him a little bit more time with this injury, and maybe there's a move the Rockets can make, a little one, to kind of bolster their wing depth a little bit more in the interim while Beverly gets a little bit more time to heal. Final couple of thoughts. Eric Gordon, what can you say? I know he struggled a little bit down the stretch. One of those, he got clearly fouled on drive to the basket, so I think that takes down his shooting percentage more than it should have been. But still, 8 of 20, 5 of 10 from 3, 22 points. He was a big part of why the Rockets were able to get so much separation and then able to withstand that final push from the Thunder. This is the kind of game, a showdown against another playoff team. You can see that Eric Gordon is the legit number two that this team has not had under James Harden. He even fits better than Chandler Parsons did when you go back a couple of years ago. It's amazing how well he and Harden play off each other. And there are times Eric Gordon is growing comfortable in the playmaker role. He's not just sitting out there sniping. He had 10 attempts from inside the arc tonight. He was very comfortable driving against Oklahoma City, made several plays off the dribble. Also, but he had several nice passes, only 3 assists, but several more that led to fouls. So he's becoming not just a shooter, but an all-around great player. And really, he's becoming close to All-Star level. I think to start the year, he was very hot from three, and that helped everybody kind of get comfortable with him very early. But over the past couple of months, it hasn't just been his shooting. He's become more of a playmaker as well, and I thought that was on display tonight. Really, you can see the coaching of Mike D'Antoni, because a lot of these guys you wouldn't think of necessarily as passers. Montrezl Harrell had 3 assists in his 29 minutes to go with 8 points and 8 rebounds. He's become a better passer. Eric Gordon, we were just discussing that, the kind of plays he makes off the dribble. So you can tell there's a lot of the Rockets that aren't necessarily that known for passing, but they are becoming passers in Mike D'Antoni's system. And that's coaching, that's structure. That's what the Rockets have not had in recent years, and that's a big part of why they are 28-9, the third seed in the Western Conference, and clearly one of the top teams in the NBA. Other thing I should point out, Ryan Anderson. It was a slow start for him. I think he missed his first 4 shots, seemingly couldn't get anything going. Actually, was 3 of 4 from inside the arc tonight. A couple of key sequences where he got offensive rebounds and putbacks. And even though he started slow, he made a couple of threes in the second half, finally got himself going. And that's one of the things with Ryan. It seems like a lot of times, if he starts well, you know you're going to get one of those, we call them hashtag road Ryan games, although he's had a couple at Toyota Center where he's just on. But sometimes when he's off, it feels like you get nothing other than the spacing. This was a game, even against a long team, and I don't think this is an ideal matchup for Ryan because the Thunder are so long and so athletic, he was still able to contribute. So I thought that was a good sign for the Rockets. That was somewhat offset by Ariza going 4 of 14. It was a cold night from him, but Ariza did have one huge 3 in the fourth quarter when it seemed like the momentum was getting away from the Rockets. So even though Ariza struggled, did hit the one huge 3, let's give him credit. Closing thought before I sign off, James Harden, this is what he does. I know he was just 6 of 16 from the field, but 26 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, and the game-winning play on national TV against a playoff team against, well, the number 2 player in the MVP race. I know Russell Westbrook had 49 points. It was a great game for him. He did it on 34 shots. The point of the game is not to put up numbers. The point of the game is to win. And while I'm not going to call out Russell Westbrook personally because I don't know the state of the Thunder roster well enough to say point blank, well, these guys could have or should have done more, I'm a Rockets writer. I'm not a Thunder writer. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys what Russell should or shouldn't have done. What I am going to say is that Westbrook took over double the shots of James Harden. So to see Harden have that kind of impact with less than half the shots tells you how good his overall game is. And I think it was fitting that it wasn't James Harden the scorer, it was actually James Harden the passer that made the winning play to Nene. And whereas Westbrook had just 5 assists, Harden had 12. Now, Westbrook, again, credit to him, had a phenomenal night, even on 34 shots, 49 points. He was an assassin tonight. Absolutely lethal scorer. But the point of the game is not just the score. It's a team game, and James Harden made the play when he had to make, and the Rockets, I don't think the supporting cast are that different. You look at these rosters, even when Clint Capela was healthy, he didn't play that much in those first 2 Rockets-Thunder games. The Thunder are bigger than the Rockets. They are longer. They do have certain advantages, such as the way they were able to play volleyball on the glass. But the Rockets got the win anyway. James and Russell are different players, and I get why some people like Russell. Some people are drawn to that bulldog, that alpha style. But James Harden, he may not be a bulldog in quite the same way, but in terms of his overall game, boy, the contributions were on full display tonight. 26, 12, 8, the game-winning pass to set up his teammates in a spot where so many others you know would have not passed the ball. Give him credit. This is James Harden doing what he's done all year, and the Rockets are 28-9, the Thunder are 21-16, and just as I said in the podcast yesterday, just as I said in my column, if the records stay like that, James Harden is your MVP. I don't know what argument Russell Westbrook can make. Heck of an individual season, but the MVP is correlated with team success, and as has been the case for most of 2016-2017, the Rockets were simply the better team. Anyway, I'll wrap up from Toyota Center. Again, very happy final. Rockets 118, Thunder 116. Very relieved locker room here, but they're not going to be partying too much because they have to get on a flight immediately to go to Orlando. Another game tomorrow night. I'll be talking with you here on Locked On Rockets, as well as on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can also follow the show at Locked On Rockets. We'll be posting all of our shows, insight, whatever we can. And you can also email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions or suggestions, anything you want to know. For now, I'll sign off from Toyota Center. Rockets 118, Thunder 116, Rockets now 28-9 on the season. Have a good night.